fascist. People like to use the word to describe any politician they don't like on both sides of the aisle. Now, it might seem like an exaggeration to call Trump a fascist. I mean, he's not calling for a genocide or imprisoning his own people without due process. But I want you to reflect for a moment on his words, on his political tactics, on his rhetoric, if you will. I've devoted the last decade of my life to studying fascist propaganda. And if you use history and philosophy as a guide, it's easy to see parallels between Trump's words and those of the most reviled fascists in history.
President, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thank you.
Let me start right in.
You have a secret, but you don't want to tell me.
Chuck, look, dead people.
I don't see anything.
Chuck, just listen for one sec.
Are you sure they're there?
Chuck, I speak to Bush, John McCain. I think he's real. I don't think, I know.
I think that they know that you're one of these very rare people who can see them, so you need to help them.
No, they're stone cold crazy.
The Sixth Sense.
Chuck.
I'm working on it.
We flirted with fascism before.
They wore Hitler's uniforms, but they wrapped themselves in the American flag.
But how are we seeing these images echoed in 21st century America? Well, the formula for fascism is surprisingly simple, and it gets repeated a lot. Italy and Germany, of course, but fascist movements are on the rise today in India, Myanmar, Hungary, Turkey, and right here in the United States. No matter where they come from, fascist politicians everywhere are cut from the same cloth. Fascism first takes root when politicians conjure up a faith in a mythic past, a past supposedly destroyed by liberals, feminists, and immigrants. For Mussolini, it was the Roman Empire. For Erdogan in Turkey, it's the Ottomans. Hungary's Viktor Orban rewrote the constitution with the goal of making Hungary great again. A line that sounded great to someone.
Did you ever hear this before? Make America great again.
LAPD truck we can confirm has a mounted LRAD. That is an LRAD.
Does this R. Caesar feed? The son of Arash, upon what meat does this R. Caesar feed? Had he looked three lines earlier in Shakespeare's Caesar, he would have found this line, which is not altogether inappropriate. The dear Brutus is not in our stars, but in ourselves. No one familiar with the history of this country can deny that congressional committees are useful. It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one, and the junior senator from Wisconsin has stepped over it with Peter.
Squad 18, boxes transmitted due to a report of an odor of smoke in the basement, the
call is in 3 Charlie. Gather round, children. It's time to learn to spell. Letters so very American that send us all to hell. R is for racist in all his nationalist glory. R is also for rapist, but that's a different story. A is for asylum and keeping kids from getting it, while C is for the Congress and a party so complicit. I is for what else? The thing the founders thought of. S is for shithole, those countries all around us. And if you hate America and want to see her doom, stick with T for Trump, a racist through and through.
And then this is the back of the Mars. And the police are not
going
to lie.
But now you're
turned around. And this NYPD truck, we can confirm, has a mounted LRAD. That is an LRAD. Mounted jelly.
Y'all give a damn.
Slick talk, pissed off, stick talk, this track, get mad, rap niggas, big trash, yo squad, my squad, mismatch, piss ass, cheese chase, gym rats, picture paint, rim rats, tree trunk, thin branch, I leave, come back, this fall, miss all y'all niggas that came up with, might with a bit of a change up. You niggas lame, we in minimal danger. I got the banger, you give me the next one, nigga. Put me in the game, I'm ready to play. Mansion, put the bank on.
Big nuts hanging, big bucks bringing. Fuck them all, no slut shaming. Money in the Cayman, I'm a paw. Niggas sweaty banging, feds got me singing. On the squad, crack rock slanging. Black top pavement, China ball. Line them up, on the wall. Three deep, final call, knee deep. Squeeze three, beat beat, Tylenol, pulled up, one deep, no squad, just me, just dog, no crawl, real niggas tend to fuck with me, no drill, no stuff for me, just a big truck and an empty cup, or whatever that is, you too concerned about how clever that is, me I'm concerned how much bread that it is, or letters that is, I think I'm my mama, I get off the rings,
Supreme, running back. Yeah, I had a dream, I had the guap, I had
the green, running back. Ready to go, ready to score, ready for woe, running back. I'm finna bring the summer back. I'm finna bring the hummer back. In the hug, I'm unchained, the fun, shin, I bust, he not coming back. Dummy racks, 100 stacks. Police killed by the 100 blacks. Don't get killed, try to run a lap. Nigga, don't get killed, try to run a
traditional patriarchy. From Mussolini to Hitler to Erdogan, fascist leaders position themselves as father figures and strong men.
I want to thank you for getting this country moving.
I can't thank you enough for the privilege that you've given me.
Greatest privilege of my life.
As long as he, and yes, it's always a he, remains in power, everything is possible. Without him, the whole system collapses.
I'll tell you what, if I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash. I think everybody would be very poor.
Once you've got your mythic path, you need the next ingredient, division. Whether it's between Germans and Jews, Hindus and Muslims, citizens and foreigners, whites and blacks, fascists succeed by turning groups against each other. The Nazis said Jews had no value because they supposedly did no mental or physical work. In Myanmar, the Rohingya have been denounced as rapists and criminals, a line which will sound familiar to many Mexicans.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists, and some, I assume, are good people.
When you divide, it's easier to control. Once fascism has taken root, it spreads through propaganda, and in particular, a kind of anti-intellectualism.
They can make anything bad because they are the fake, fake, disgusting news.
Fascists attack the truth because truth is central to a free democracy.
It's somebody's version of the truth, not the truth.
Truth is truth. I don't mean to go like...
It isn't truth. Truth isn't truth.
This environment creates a petri dish for conspiracy theories. At a Trump rally recently, it's a sign for a popular online conspiracy theory that the deep state is working to bring down Trump. It's not a million miles away from Viktor Orban's wild campaigns against the global Jewish conspiracy. With the truth under attack and lies running wild, no one can agree on what's true anymore, and fascists love it when that happens. You might think I'm trying to frighten you by making these parallels. And do you know what? I am.
What do you want? Justice! What do you want it now? What do you want? Justice! What do you want it now? What do you want? Justice! What do you want it now? What do you want? Justice! What do you want it now?
Person who is in this country, who's aspiring to become part of the American fabric, understands that nothing this president says should be taken to heart. We are Americans as much as everyone else. This is our country, and we are where we belong. And I told people on my election night, in the great state of Minnesota, we don't just welcome refugees, we send them to represent us in Washington. And as much as he's spewing his fascist ideology on stage, telling you as citizens to go back because they don't agree with his detrimental policies for our country, we tell people that here in the United States, dissent is patriotic.
I don't think I know.
I think that they know that you're one of these very rare people who can see them. So you need to help them.
No, they're stone cold crazy.
Down!
Holiday Inn is now calling for the march to move uptown.
Children, it's time to learn to spell letters so very American that send us all to hell.
Not every gift is a blessing.
Fascists create an overwhelming sense of nostalgia for a past that is racially pure, traditional, and patriarchal. From Mussolini to Hitler to Erdogan, fascist leaders position themselves as father figures and strong men.
I want to thank you for getting this country moving.
I can't thank you enough for the privilege that you've given me.
Greatest privilege of my life.
My parents survived the Holocaust. My grandmother, in her memoir, wrote about how Jews in Germany didn't see the Nazi threat until it was too late. In 1937, we were still able to leave the country, she wrote. We could still live in our homes. We could still worship in our
temples.
Hard
to imagine that this
argument, we were in a ghetto,
this right,
but the majority of our people were still alive.
Fascist ideology on stage.
Are the Democrats doing what they should be doing? Is it okay just to say something but not do something?
Look, I was pretty disappointed yesterday, not because I think that, you know, we should impeach this president in this moment. It's because, you know, to vote and say that those two are racist and wrong, that's an easy vote. That should be an easy vote. And I think that, you know, for us not to even have a debate about it, that actually is a reflection of this moment in this country where we're so uncomfortable with completely and totally unabashed racism that we can't even have a dialogue on the House floor about whether or not that's okay embodied by the president each and every day. And going back to Monday, I think folks misheard or misunderstood what those four congressmen were saying on Monday. Ilhan quoted from our founding documents. She said that we should live up to an ideal that all men are created equal. That was similar to the remarks that President Obama made at the foot of the Edmund Pettus Bridge in 2015 on the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. My aunt marched in Selma and hid from the Ku Klux Klan at 17 years old. So this is all very visceral for me. When I see that rally, that looks like a Klan rally to me. That looks like a Klan rally in 2019.
And as much as he's spewing his fascist ideology on stage, telling you as citizens to go back because they don't agree with his detrimental policies for our country, we tell people that here in the United States, dissent is patriotic.
Five, 5 4 10.
disorderly group is clear on 5-6 on 4-2, is heading westbound on 4-2.
And that racism is at the core of his political ideology. It's not a side dish, it's the main course. Every day he serves up a steaming hot entree of racism and then washes it down with a side of
McDonald's, Wendy's, and Burger King's with some pizza.
Trump launched his political career by questioning the legitimacy of the first black president, began his campaign by claiming Mexico was sending criminals and rapists to the U.S., and said a judge who was overseeing a lawsuit against him in 2016 shouldn't be allowed to oversee the case because of his ethnicity.
Now, this judge is a Mexican heritage. I'm building a wall. Okay? I'm building a wall.
But you're invoking his race when talking about whether or not he should do his job.
I'm building a wall.
If you are saying he can't do his job because of his race, is that not the definition of racism? No?
He's proud of his heritage. I respect him for that.
You're saying he can't do his job because of
that. Look, he's proud of his heritage, okay? I'm building a wall. This judge is giving us unfair law. Now I say what? Well, I'm building a wall.
Okay, but why won't you tell us what you're building? He keeps saying it over and over like he's wearing a wire and calling for backup. I'm building a wall. I'm building a wall. Wall, Steve, get me out of here.
Justice! What do we want? Justice! What do we want now? What do we want? Justice! What do we want now? What do we want? Justice! What do we want now?
Bridge in 2015 on the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. My aunt marched in Selma and hid from the Ku Klux Klan at 17 years old. So this is all very visceral for me. When I see that rally, that looks like a Klan rally to me. That looks like a Klan rally in 2019.
a dark underbelly in this country.
She looks down with contempt on the hardworking American, saying that ignorance is pervasive in many parts of this country. And obviously, and importantly, Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds.
Hey, can I smoke? Can I smoke?
Pretty strong. The president actually from his Nuremberg rally from last night. Which
yeah, something like
you're
that.
Fortunate enough to get some.
2 days and three unmistakable messages from the White House. Last night's top searches on Merriam-Webster's online dictionary: racism, socialism, fascism, concentration camp, xenophobia, bigot. Broadside against Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, who as a child refugee fled war-torn Somalia and became an American citizen, and is one of the four House Democrats of color who the president said should go back to their countries, even though the other three were born in the United States. As the president went on about Omar, the crowd's fury increased, leading to a new and alarming rally chant.
Representative Ilhan Omar. Omar laughed that Americans speak of
You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise.
The Trump launched a racist attack on the judge by calling him unqualified to rule in a case because of his ethnicity. And by the way, in case you're somehow still curious about Donald Trump's legal bona fides, here's what he had to say on Friday about special counsel Robert Mueller's report, which listed 10 possible instances of obstruction of justice. Remember, 10. 10. Somehow everyone's forgotten about that because it was like 50 scandals ago. We all have such scandal fatigue. At this point, Trump could streak naked across the White House lawn with his head stuck in a KFC bucket screaming, "I did it! I broke all the laws!" And 2 days later, we all be scratching our heads going, "Oh yeah, right, that happened." Trump was asked about the Mueller report on Friday, and he tried to claim that Article 2 of the Constitution gives him the power to basically do whatever he wants. Now, remember, this is the same guy who said a judge wasn't qualified to rule on a case because of that judge's ethnicity. By comparison, here's Trump talking about Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States.
Number one, there's no crime. And how do you obstruct when there's no crime? Also, take a look at one other thing. It's a thing called Article 2. Nobody ever mentions Article 2. It gives me all of these rights at a level that nobody has ever seen before. We don't even talk about Article 2.
What do you mean nobody has ever seen before? It was written over 200 years ago. Just because you've never seen it before doesn't mean nobody's ever seen it before.
I just saw this great little independent film. No one's ever seen it before. It's called The Lion King.
Ayanna, Ilhan, and Rashida, aka the Squad. Now, you probably know this. Ever since the Democrats took the House, these four women have taken the lead in calling Trump out. And yesterday, the president hit back in the most Trumpy way imaginable.
We're going to go to Washington now, where President Trump has sparked a storm of outrage after a series of racist tweets targeting members of Congress who are women of color.
The president Sunday called out progressive Democrat congresswomen, tweeting, "Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it is done?" Adding, "These places need your help badly. You can't leave fast enough." The congresswomen came from Cincinnati, Detroit, and New York City. Only one of the group, Representative Ilhan Omar, a Somali refugee, was born outside of the U.S.
Wow. You know, I don't know what's worse. The fact that the president thought it's acceptable to say, go back to where you came from, or the fact that he said it to people who are already where they came from. You know, it's almost like in Trump's head, you can't be a person of color and an American. Which is strange, because he of all people should know that you can be two things at the same time. Yeah, I mean, he's bald and has a full head of hair. It doesn't make sense.
Of the northbound side of the west side parking lot.
Given everything that has preceded this moment, perhaps everything has led up to this. But this is the low point of, I think it's the low point of the Trump presidency. And I would hope after last night's shocking display in any other context, under any other president, at any other time in American history, that we can go ahead and just be done with the fiction that Donald Trump is a bad guy running the country. But those at the rally, we need to try to figure out how to understand them a bit more. They once again made themselves perfectly clear last night.
Yeah. We've all been watching this whole incredibly sad, disgusting spectacle unfold since Sunday, and we moved to political analysis, and rightly, he's the president of the United States. But I got to say, you know, the president, I've not had much doubt about the fact the president was a bigot and a racist and had a lot of hate in his heart for a long time. I think what we're witnessing now is something. If you can imagine it worse than that, the chief executive of the United States of America is putting a target on the back of an individual American citizen. The president's inciting violence against an individual American. Donald Trump's done some pretty horrific things in the course of his time in the Oval Office, but this is undoubtedly, as you say, Joe, not just the low point, but the worst, the most depraved, disgusting, and totally odious thing that the president's ever done. And I think, you know,
right,
that's saying a lot.
We're already in a really bad place, and we're headed someplace worse.
But we accept it. But not surprisingly,
don't you want devoted followers?
Mexicans are rapists. Doesn't think that he said anything.
Give
bad.
Their money to you.
Doesn't concern you.
Give their money.
Many people
to you.
Saw that tweet as racist, and that white nationalist groups are finding common cause with you on that point.
It doesn't concern me because many people agree with me, and all I'm saying, they want to leave, they can leave now. It doesn't say leave forever. It says leave if you want.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know where to begin. First of all, just because many people agree with you doesn't mean you aren't being racist, okay? Imagine if Hitler was like, I know everybody says I'm bad, but have you seen how many people are waving at me in the streets? Yeah, I mean, if I was racist, they would say something, yeah? They would say something, yeah?
Check the portable.
Don't you want devoted followers who leave their families for you, give their money to you, give their bodies to you, give up their lives for you, consider you God, and will kill for you? Don't you want to become a cult leader?
He makes it sound like that's what's been dividing America all this time, is that these people aren't racist. We just haven't let them finish their full statements, yeah? Like, maybe if we let people finish, they'd say, we don't need your kind around here. We want your kind around here, because we appreciate you. So, here we are again, my friends. Everyone says this was racist. Trump says it was not. It's hard to know which side is correct.
Claim ourselves as indeed we are, the defenders of freedom wherever it continues to exist in the world. But we cannot defend freedom abroad by deserting it at home. The actions of the junior senator from Wisconsin have caused alarm and dismay amongst our allies abroad and given considerable comfort to our enemies. And whose fault is that? Not really his. He didn't create this situation of fear, he merely exploited it.
Disagreement is welcome, debate is welcomed, and especially in the People's House, all of our voices are uplifted and heard, and we see her, we see me, we see her, we see everyone in this country, and they are not only my neighbors, my friends, my sisters and brothers, they are also my constituents and they're my fellow citizens.
Lies running wild. No one can agree on what's true anymore. And fascists love it when that happens. You might think I'm trying to frighten you by making these parallels. And do you know what? I am.
Rather successfully. Cassius was right. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves.
Ugliest impulses that a political movement can cultivate on full, unapologetic display. That's what Donald Trump has been cultivating all along. What the Republican Party, whether it likes it or not, now stands for. Most of us, I think, across the ideological spectrum, liberal and conservative, across lines of religion and belief, feel viscerally a kind of moral revulsion when we hear and see an angry mob braying, "Send her back," about a fellow American. But the reaction from Republicans today was basically a foregone conclusion. We knew at the very best it would be tepid. At the worst, well.
Isn't it racist, though, to say send her back?
No, I don't think it's racist to say. Was it racist to say love it or leave it?
I don't think a Somali refugee embracing Trump would not have been asked to go back.
Anytime you get into a crowd like that, you've got a lot of supporters. They're going to say what they want to say.
Last night, as we were hearing these chants, the president just stood there. He didn't intervene.
The president moved on with his speech.
But if there is no place for these chants, does the president have a responsibility to cut this out?
For those who were at the event, and I was not, I didn't see it, but I did talk to somebody there. He said it was a small group off to the side. What the president did, the president did not join in. The president moved on.
Point of fact, the president didn't move on. He paused for 13 seconds to let the chant build. Now, we are long past the point where anyone can ask with a straight face, where are the decent members of this political coalition? When will they stand up against this? They won't. We know that. They did effectively nothing when the president praised the Nazis chanting Jews will not replace us a night before one of their ranks murdered a woman. They did nothing when children as young as 4 months were ripped from their mothers. Nothing as fellow human beings were penned into cages like so much livestock. And the reason is very simple. They are getting what they want out of Trump. Last night, as I was on the train home, I saw this little item. Tiny little thing, wasn't in the news. A paragraph memo from the white shoe corporate law firm Wachtell, basically telling its clients, who hire them to train people at their companies in how not to break the law, that they should continue hiring them even though white-collar prosecutions under Trump have basically disappeared. That's right. Please keep paying us to teach your executives not to be criminals, even though they won't be prosecuted even if they are criminals. So that crowd in the arena, they get the illicit thrill of chanting racist slogans, and corporate America gets to get away with crime. The Christian conservatives get to pick judges, thanks to one of their very own, Leonard Leo, who basically runs judicial vetting and who, along with Mitch McConnell, has gotten a record number of judges on the federal appeals bench. Now, sure, Leonard Leo's a devout Catholic, but you're not going to catch him publicly criticizing a president who puts children in cages. Corporate America got a $1 trillion tax cut. Wall Street got massively declining SEC fines. Big polluters got an EPA that has their back, rolling back regulations, including an announcement today that, and I quote, it would not ban a widely used pesticide associated with developmental disabilities and other health problems in children. The warmongers get the promise of a military confrontation with Iran, while the defense contractors get enormous $1 billion boondoggles and a White House that literally tweets out ads for their products. Those who want to slash the social safety net, well, they get Mick Mulvaney at the Office of Management and Budget, who told the Conservative Heritage Foundation yesterday he's been saying, quote, OMB now under the management of the Heritage Foundation. And the bosses of America get an administration that quietly put out a statement this week opposing the $15 minimum wage increase the Democrats in the House passed today. Each part of the coalition has been dealt into the Trump presidency. It is a classic model of corrupt governance. The capo on the top and the many, many bosses below who are given control of their domain to do as they wish. Because Trump doesn't care at all about EPA policy or labor or Iran really or anything really other than making money, which the presidency allows him to do with public dollars, and being the center of attention, which, same. But the base, what does the base get? The folks in that arena. Well, it's obvious, isn't it? They get to chant. They get to revel in their own Americanness and primacy at the expense of others. They may not get much more than that, but Trump and now the entire Republican Party and most of the conservative movement realize that that is enough for them. They realize that no one actually cared about deficits or small government. That was never the fuel that fired the engine of Republican politics. It was always roiling rage against them that was on full display in the center back chants last night. Without that rage and that passion, that enthusiasm and fire in that room, this entire project falls apart. That sentiment at the core of the coalition cannot be pried loose, and it cannot be negotiated with, and it cannot be appeased. It must be peacefully, nonviolently, politically destroyed. With love, compassion, and determination, but utterly confronted and destroyed. That is the only way to break the coalition apart. Not by prying off this or that interest. They are in too deep. They have shamed themselves too much. The heart of the thing must be ripped out. The darkness must be banished. The people who feel moral revulsion at that display we saw last night must collectively mobilize in greater numbers than the chanters.
For me in particular, I don't think we've done as good a job as we could explain to people why this send people back stuff is so painful. You're a little black kid in America. One of the things that happens to you on the school ground is go back to Africa, go back to Africa, go back to Africa. It's the first time you even realize you're not just like every other kid. You're like, what are you talking about? I've never been to Africa. Go back to Africa. So this, it's not just like a casual thing. And also, when there's a hate crime, often, right before the shot is fired, right before the punch is thrown, go back where you came from. So this is very chilling stuff. This is very dangerous stuff. And I think the Republican Party, behind closed doors, must have been really, really trying to lay down the line. I hope he keeps backing up off of this. But if he doesn't, we are in deep trouble.
I mean, this sort of harkens back to other times in American history, this appeal to emotion rather than, you know, rational arguments. George Wallace, Joseph McCarthy. But, you know, the president's supporters say this isn't about race, this is about policy.
I mean, it's just a lie. That's not true. I mean, listen, when you say go back to the crime-infested, you know, country that you came from, and three of the four people are from the United States of America, that is about race. And he, again, people said a thousand times, it's worth saying over and over again. He never said that about Bernie Sanders. He's never said that about any white critic of the country, including his own white self. Trump himself has been the biggest critic of the United States of anybody, especially when Obama was president. Nobody would have ever said to him, well, go back where you came from. It wouldn't even make sense. Go back where you came from only makes sense inside the logic of white nationalism, white supremacy, white people belong here, other people don't. White people can criticize. Bernie can criticize. Trump can criticize. But if you're a brown woman with a hijab on, you can't criticize. Well, listen, that is about race. And you don't have to use a racial epithet or say the word black or Muslim or Latino or whatever for it to be about race. In the context, it's obvious. Here's the deal. I don't understand why he does stuff like this.
Of course, Trump is not happy about any of this. This morning he tweeted, those tweets were not racist. I don't have a racist bone in my body. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. We've seen your body. I'm not sure there are any bones. Just mascarpone cheese pumped into a cheap suit. And second, you have said a lot of racist things. You demanded the execution of the Central Park Five, who were innocent. You said Barack Obama was from Kenya. You wanted to ban all Muslims. You said Mexicans were murderers. Racism is your brand. It's like Colonel Sanders saying, I don't have a finger-licking bone in my body. Then Trump went on the attack.
This should be a vote on the filthy language, statements, and lies told by the Democrat congresswomen.
Adding in another tweet,
shouting of the F word among many other terrible things.
Okay, pro tip. When you're trying to demonize a group that already has a nickname like the Squad. Maybe don't make them sound like the bad girls in a high school.
This squad is a bunch of clove cigarette-smoking rebels who wear matching satin jackets and their skirts are way too short. They skip home ec class to drink behind the senior hut. Your parents don't like them because one time they pants Principal Wagner at the morning assembly and everybody cheered and carried them out on their shoulders. Bad news.
Fascist ideology on stage.
Yeah, really a far worse
dangerous
place. And, you know, I actually talked about yesterday about how Republicans shamed themselves by not calling racism racism. I saw some people actually write columns that used to be respected trying to excuse the president's language and saying it's not racist. But the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission
the federal agency that Donald Trump oversees that enforces laws against discrimination, specifically outlined such language that the president used last night and that his crowd used last night as an example of bias.
Oh, honey, their Cosmo is racially infused. Second, this is beside the point, but three of the congresswomen you're attacking were born here, and they're all American citizens. So if you're asking them to fix the totally broken, crime-infested governments of their home countries, they're trying.
WCOM LPFM Chapel Hill Carrboro. This is Dr. Furious. We're here at the top of the hour. Micropower Radio Land, 103.5 WCOM LPFM, micropowered, community based, low power, rocket non commercial radio. We've been having too much fun tonight. I'm in here with DJ Eddie Abbey. I'm Dr. Furious. We do this every Thursday around 10 o'clock to who knows how long. And we rock out with local fun hip-hop and crazy international news and just the crazy crypto-fascist state of affairs. You can go to furiousg.blogspot and see all the old shows for decades. We've been doing micropowered community-based radio since 97 on the Furious wavelength. And we've got this awesome little studio down here in downtown Carrboro's, rocking out of the Arts Center in Carrboro, Chapel Hill, Orange County, Chatham County, Durham. We do the Micropower Radio beat as part of our contribution to confronting the effed up president. You can learn more about it or come in, volunteer, do what you got to do. I've been doing this as my contribution, but also as a way for me to just kind of, as a way to creatively express how frustrated I am with the world. So you'll hear about that, and you'll hear some crazy cool hip-hop music. We've been playing some crazy new stuff from J. Cole, his new brand new album from Dreamville. They hooked up Furious with a ticket to his show, this crazy festival summer, and his album is kind of keeping that vibe going. That there in the background's 21 Savage, a guy who got arrested for immigration charges, which I think is interesting. Problems. A lot. And other fun stuff. So there's ways to help, you know, ways to support the radio or, you know, ways to do whatever you're doing. But my favorite thing is to continue what I'm doing. We're going to do it in the late night. So sit back, buckle up. Thanks for being a part of Micropower Furious Radio. I'm Furious George. I'm furious.
In a section on national origin and anti-discrimination laws, their website, the federal government's website, President Trump's website says, ethnic slurs and other verbal and physical conduct because of nationality are illegal. They are illegal if they're severe and pervasive and create an intimidating, hostile, or offensive working environment that interfere with work performance or negatively affect job opportunities. And Willie, it goes on to say, in Donald Trump's government, examples of potentially unlawful conduct include insults, taunting, or ethnic epithets, such as making fun of a person's foreign accent.
It's the summer of 2019. We conservatives have been forced to the margins of society.
Why is Facebook censoring conservative bloggers such as Diamond and Silk?
We barely controlled three branches of government and could only show our faces at exclusive luxury beach resorts.
Many by now have heard that I was asked to leave a restaurant this weekend where I attempted to have dinner with my family.
But one day, a humble, powerless president stood up and said, no more. Climate change is a hoax! This new legislation legislation will assure election integrity by mandating that all of Atlanta share one ballot, and you can only vote if you just left Clint Eastwood's latest white resentment blockbuster. And before you accuse me of limiting minority access to the polls, listen to this cabinet member I selected for no particular reason.
I'm cool with it.
Oh, okay, Ben. As long as you're cool with it. And to my supporters, harass anyone who opposes this bill. Not that anyone will, because Ben said it's fine.
I'm Rachel Maddow, and it's not a manic episode if it's been going on for 3 years.
Country. And they're treating with a lot more respect and devotion than the racist gargoyle sits around tweeting from the back nine of his chintzy golf course.
The melting racist.
Cassius was right.
The fall right now. Keep it going.
Is not in our stars, but in ourselves.
Fascist ideology on stage.